are now tuned in to VAR Sports Media. This is the week in wrestling, highly anticipated this week, because it is going to be a very interesting one. A very interesting week, a much anticipated week, and boy, things feel a lot different at the end of this week than they did at the beginning of this week. Well, I would like to say it was a fun ride, but lots of it wasn't a fun ride. AEW, things are not headed in a positive trajectory. Their one trick that they could always rely on, in essence, well, it failed them and it didn't fail them, because Mercedes herself did do a million people were in there at the beginning to see her debut, see it happen. But in typical fashion, they also reverted to some of their worst habits, using the tried and true, ultra successful promotional tactic of expecting people to remember one match from a Japanese promotion that happened a year ago. Because that could be the only fucking logic toward putting, look, out of the top 10 people that we've put the most praise upon in the existence of this podcast, Willow Nightingale has to be towards the top. She has to be in the top 10 of the people who we have supported the most since this pod came on. But the way that she's been used and the way that things have gone in AEW, neither her or Riho had any chance whatsoever to having any result other than what happened, which was AEW doing its worst quarter hour ever. A quarter hour so ghastly, so diabolically bad, that a show that started off at a million ended up with an overall viewership, if you count the runover, of 798. They have their second biggest signing in history. And it ends up...
I'd say third.
798.
Well...
798. And what's crazy, too, is that was a pretty damn good show the other night.
I have no idea.
Loved a couple of the matches. Loved Darby and Switchblade. Love, thank you, God. My prayers have been answered. We are finally fucking done with this goddamn Bang Bang Scissor Gang fucking bullshit. I am just begging you, let me know what blood sacrifice I need to fucking do to get those guys repackaged. I'm talking about the Acclaimed. Because holy Mother of Christ, it's fucking over. And I don't mean over like what they were when you failed to pull the trigger on them the first time. I mean over as in it's fucking cooked, beyond cooked. The barometer for something now being cooked in the zeitgeist of professional wrestling is when AEW tries to use it as a gimmick or a match or something like that. The meaty thing, fucking cooked. The fucking scissor, haha, eighth grade comedy, it's fucking cooked. My God, it's so fucking lame. Please repackage these guys. They're both talented, entertaining performers. Other things on the show were good, but you go and you put two people who are not over, who are not known to the audience, who are not known to a wider audience, certainly not the audience that you had that tuned in at the beginning. You put them in the main. You have some sort of esoteric fucking path of logic that people are supposed to know that these people are connected to Mercedes, and so she's probably coming back out. Clearly that fucking failed miserably. You only managed to do 798 for the fucking debut of Mercedes Moné, who you're paying a bajillion million zillion dollars. And then, of course, we summarized the week last night with The Rock putting on another all-time heater fucking promo. Great show last night. Great job of building. We'll get to that later. The two places don't feel like they could be possibly going in more opposite trajectories right now.
You know, I'll start with the Mercedes thing. For one, Mercedes looks great as always. Love seeing Mercedes.
She looked better than ever. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, she was.
Been in the gym.
Yeah, she is. She's always been, like I said, amazing. But you can see she's really taking it serious. And I also think her, you know, getting in the gym is also to truthfully, you know, help with, you know, trying to maintain her strength, and especially on that ankle, especially after how serious her injury apparently was. So great for Mercedes. Love seeing Mercedes. Want nothing but the absolute best for Mercedes Moné. However, I think we said this, we didn't allude to this. I don't know if we alluded to it in detail on air. But we definitely talked about this. And we said, you know, Mercedes moves a bit of a needle. But how much of a needle does she really move? You know what I mean? Like, how much of the needle is she actually moving? And I say that to say, what's the sustainability?
What we said was, what we said, just because we don't need fucking, you know, all of the nations of the fucking world uniting against us. What we said was, she ain't gonna do shit for them. That is a whole nother thing about saying she's not a needle mover. She is a needle mover. He's not going to be able to help them. And night fucking one. God damn if it wasn't completely fucking clear that that is exactly fucking right as it stands right now.
I'd like to mention what I've said for a while now, since The Rock came back. Everybody's a star till the real one walks in. Uh-oh. And Mercedes... Sasha Banks is one of the biggest household names in women's wrestling, wrestling in general, and WWE wrestling in general for the last 10 years. And there are very few comparable examples of that in AEW. Edge is a legend, obviously. Adam Copeland is a legend in his own right. I don't necessarily know, Bryan Danielson when he was Daniel Bryan. He, of course, obviously is a megastar, but he's kind of in the twilight. You know, Bryan Danielson and Edge are in the twilight of their careers. They have way more time behind them than in front of them. You know, we're looking at their last runs. Mercedes Moné is like early 30s. So if she wanted to, she could go on and on and on. And I believe she will have a couple years in AEW. Well, she's slated to have a couple years in AEW. Let's see how far that goes. But I think, once again, herself, obviously, you know, she helped move tickets for and buy rates for New Japan World, you know, when she did the Wrestle Kingdom stuff, and then with her matches. And, you know, people were subscribing who never cared to even pay attention to it because of her. She has power. I'm going to say this, and this is not against anything. I think some of the fan base, though, is a little... I think it's a little delusional when people are like, oh, Mercedes did a million. We don't take no losses around here. Like, Mercedes is not looking at it like that. I think Mercedes is looking at, like, how can I come in and help this company get back to at least over 850, 900, 1 million? I think that's her thought process, where she has the freedom to do what she wants. She has her own writer. She has everything, but she also has her own vision, which I think she believes she could help take them to the next level. She wants to work with all the women that are there. She wants to interact with some of the guys that are there. She wants to attack this head on. She missed being on television weekly. She absolutely is locked in. But there's only so much that someone can do. And I like to go back to Punk in 2021 when he debuted. I mean, I think his segment on Rampage did, what, 1.3, 1.4 on a Friday? You know, which is insane numbers to do on a Friday at 10 p.m. So Mercedes getting 1 million on a Wednesday at 8 p.m. is great, because AEW barely sees that, you know, unless you're talking Big Bang Theory and there. And they're leading even in. That'll be 860, 870 some weeks, if that. And she's going to do what she can, but you can't have her on every single segment to keep that up. I mean, you could, but you kind of, you know, bleeding it dry. But I think herself, she's a great asset to any company. I know for a fact eventually she will go back to WWE. She said it herself. I think this is her getting her creative freedom, taking money from a rich, rich billionaire who, as evidenced by a story we just read, loves seemingly giving it out to everybody except for me. So I
honestly,
just...
if we wanted to be cynical, 1 million is the same as they usually do with the Big Bang Theory lead-in.
It's kind of true.
They were at 899 by 815.
Yeah. I mean...
So just saying.
I know people, well, I'll say this, without Mercedes, that drop would have probably been like $7.50 instead of $8.99. But I think, once again, Willow and Rio was not a smart choice to headline, but obviously they wanted Mercedes to open and close the show. I don't really understand that. I remember when they did, you know, because everybody compares this to First Dance, and it's very similar in how they did it with First Dance. They didn't actually announce her. They didn't
even
actually...
Even though they fucking shouldn't, because they need to fucking let go. Worry about your life right fucking now, because you're in the 700s 2 weeks in a row with a huge fucking debut. This week was actually fucking worse than last week. You just got the fucking Sasha bump. Christ.
Which once again, like I said, there's something. I've said this for a while now. The veil of AEW has dropped. It's dropped now. People see some of the bullshit that goes on in the company. Some people see how they handle business. Punk going there gave them a big bump, because they were starting to do, I think, 900 to a million prior to Punk coming in. But I remember people were watching it actively, like myself included, because we were trying to catch references to Punk. The Hangman and Kenny Omega story was really doing a hell of a job carrying it. I mean, you could also argue that Malakai Black and Cody, Malakai Black's arrival was something that people started to kind of gravitate to as well. But there are different elements there that I think people were excited about and excited to see happen. And I believe, my opinion, I think they kind of blew it a little bit. I've said this in many different conversations over the years. I think AEW had something special and they blew it. And I think you bring in Ospreay, you bring in Okada, and you bring in Mercedes, and it's like, we still can't even hit 850. Once again, I could care two shits about the ratings. I've said this for years. I don't really care, but I know what their goal is, right? And so knowing what their goal is and seeing how much money you're putting out and what you're doing, and it's not yielding the results that I think you want, I think that has to, you have to reassess, like, what, like, our product on paper is great. I mean, who wouldn't love seeing, was Pac and Eddie Kingston and was it Penta, I think, against the, you know, the Bucks and Okada? It's a fucking amazing match. It's a fucking amazing concept to even put on, like, free television. Well, not free, but, you know, on television. So you're going out there with Darby Allin versus Jay White. That's a Full Gear type of match. That's a pay-per-view match. You're putting it on television, and people still don't care like that enough to watch. And it's because your base is your base. We got to interact with
also,
that base.
You've done so much shit that's just ruined, made people think, I can't have any faith in this. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what's fucking happened.
And it's like, you're not doing yourselves any favors, because nobody plays victim better than AEW and stuff like, oh, well, people aren't watching our shows because they're, you know, The Rock's back. I heard somebody say that. I saw that. People like, The Rock coming back stole all the thunder. then they're like, oh, why did they put out this new story about Vince and this person when Mercedes is debuting, trying to take away? It's like, bro, it has nothing to fucking do with anything. Like, y'all, like, it has nothing to do with anything. Every time
exactly, it's happens, always, it's always everybody else. It's always everything else. It's never our fault for fucking this up.
Like, Jesus, it's just Christ. I don't understand. When I saw and like, I got into it with a guy who you know, not really got into it, but he said something and it bothered me because I was like, bro, where, you know, and a couple people saw it. If you're listening, who listens, they probably saw it because they were like, you know, responding and DMing me about it. And they were like, so God said something to the effect of, man, there's so many anti-AEW accounts that exist and it's so weird and da da da. And I was like, man, there's a bunch of weird accounts, anti-WWE, anti-AEW. Like, it's all weird. Like, wrestling fandom is just a bunch of weird shit. People make excuses for their favorite company, talking about their favorite billionaire. Like, why do you have a favorite billionaire? When people were talking about Vince and holding Vince's dick, I'm like, hey, he don't give a fuck about you. He don't care about you. I'd say the same about Tony Khan. Obviously, I could say the same about Tony Khan. So it's like, when you see these things, it makes you realize that when the stuff that we literally complained about, when people in WWE and how people took up for WWE and made it seem like they could do no wrong, I think a lot of it is now going into AEW, where the issue is AEW themselves also shares the fan base's thought process. That's a problem. Like, you are not devoid of responsibility for your own failures or your own lack of success or this and the other. Trust me, if anybody I understand this concept very well. You do not get to put it on everybody else and be like, oh, this is why we're not doing well. Oh, can you believe there are bots that are, you know, that are coming after us and saying bad stuff about us? I'm like, bro, I could look at the timeline and see up under any AEW post a bunch of people who, if you have a nigga named AEW Defender, why is that an account who copies and pastes like three or four other types of style of like, that's a bot. Your name is AEW Defender. That is your name. That is your existence on Twitter. That is a bot and a half. Or the reality of it is AEW has a lot of burner accounts that are big. I could name several of them, but I am not. For people who are listening, you know, because you have exposed these people to me. And now that I know, I'm like, those are burner accounts for employees. You know, people who work for AEW Heels. You know, remember that shit? Remember that was like supposed to be a thing for the ladies? And what's happened with that? Where is it? Does anybody care? Does anybody care about that anymore? Does anybody care about their outreach stuff that they do? Like, there's so many things that AEW started off doing that seemed like it'd have been a good idea, and a lot of it's gone now. And you know what happened and who those people seem to be that were in charge of those things? And I hate to admit this because I don't like them. Don't like them. But Cody and Brandy, a lot of the things that they had implemented and wanted to have, those things are gone now. And a lot of those outreach things, a lot of those fun things that they tried to do to make themselves look different and be different, now AEW is not different at all. They essentially just are exactly what we thought WWE was at one point, and they're just tossing a bunch of money around, and once again, tossing a bunch of money to people not named me, and they're giving like this money, and it's not yielding the results. You know, like, you can't even, you got Sasha Banks and TD in the TD Garden, and you can't even get 10K in. You know, I think
it's funny because it's like, it's the becoming the worst of all the different worlds. They're tossing money around, like, and they're acting like their shit don't stink like WWE. But on the other hand, the professionalism, how things run behind the scenes and for artists and for people who work underneath for them, it's run and its attendance and its viewership all look like a fucking indie, some bullshit indie. So it's like the worst of both worlds at this point.
Yeah. So I just saw something. You know what? I'm gonna take a brief moment. Sidebar. And I apologize for getting this briefly off track, but this bothered me because I just saw this. So there is a thing called Ko-Fi. I don't know if you ever heard of it, Eric. Thing called Ko-Fi, apparently. And
I know there was Ko-Fi Kingston.
Yeah, Ko dash5.com apparently. Somebody just sent it to me, actually. But I want to say this because it pissed me off. There was a guy who was very prominent in the wrestling Twitter community. And I made a joke, kind of ha, ha, ha. This person went through a situation that I felt was near and dear. I thought it was very, very similar to mine. Obviously, mine's a little more severe. But I felt for this person. I felt for this person. I thought to myself, man, you're a dad just like me. Man, you're going through stuff like me. And I shared their stuff. I sent them private words of encouragement. I said, hey, man, you don't have to share my stuff. I wanted to share yours and just say, bro, you know, keep your head up. Hopefully things work out with you and your situation. I'm pulling for you. Privately said that. Thinking we were cool, I made a joke to a horny tweet that this person tweeted, which was a little bit ridiculous. And I mean, this is me saying it. And I was like, hey, you're, you know, I was like, made a little joke. Like, you know, Rock, you sick freak joke. And he took that and turned that against me and tried to clown my situation. And Eric, you saw that on Twitter. And a lot of people did. And they lit this motherfucker up. He apologized. I privately reached out like, hey, bro, you know what? If you could share my story, that might help get me the help that you got, you know what I'm saying, before. Like, people, you got 10, 15K in a day from people because you had that outreach. I said, man, you know what that could do? If I could get half of that to help my situation, that would help change my life right now. Change my fortune. No sold it, never said anything. The apology was disingenuous. It was only getting that because he got bad feedback. And now I see this person is currently looking to get a new television. And they are promoting a GoFundMe-esque thing on Ko-Fi to get a new television. The same person who just tried to clown my situation this week alone. So that apology was disingenuous. Just like most of the people in wrestling Twitter, y'all are a bunch of bitches. And I wanted to pause in the middle of this to say that because it pissed me off seeing that. You just disrespected me and my situation when I'm fighting for my fucking life to be here for my child. And you sitting there was bullshitting. You just got 10 fucking grand when your goal was only 5 grand to get your legal fees for your child. Once again, I try not to talk about people's children, but you exploited that situation because no one even knew you had a fucking child. Everybody knows I got a fucking kid, you know, my daughter, and I do not exploit my daughter for this situation. And this is wrestling related because it's wrestling Twitter. And I will say that to also quickly go into Prince Magus, Prince Bitch Ass, whatever your name is, brother. Don't ever in your motherfucking life call me a liar when everybody who's around me in real life knows my situation. Just because you want to suck a damn dick of AW people, they don't fucking know you. They don't know you. None of these people know you. And for
you, and want I'm, to and, hold on.
You know,
you want to
I go.
Yeah, we're gonna pass the baton here a little bit. Tag me,
yeah,
coach. This is a powers of pain situation here. You know what's funny about that whole deal is it started because your bitch ass wanted to bully and harass a 20-year-old fucking female on fucking Twitter. That's what fucking got you into hot water with some real motherfuckers over here. Now, then we go into you immediately putting on the cape for people who are serial sexual harassers and sexual assault committers. You couldn't wait to defend them fast fucking up and try to degrade and soften the fucking experience of several victims in the fucking following situations. You then moved on to call my friend here, who was on the verge of homelessness on a regular basis, a fucking liar. All four. So let's see here. You were super excited to jump on and harass a young female, try and bully her. You sat there and you stood on business for people who are fucking known sex pests.
Known.
And then called my friend who's in this fucking shitty situation a liar. All for a billionaire who will never know your name. But guess what? Now we know your name. And we're going to remember it. I said, I hope I see you somewhere. And then you turned around because you know, because I know, and you know what's in your heart.
Oh, man.
We know what's in your heart, and it's nothing but bitch. Because that's why you take the fucking approach of abusing women. Ain't Let nothing me... in your heart but bitch. So when I said, I hope I see you somewhere, you didn't say, cool, I hope you do too. No, you immediately turned to, you're threatening me with violence. Because you fucking know what it is. I'm going to tell you though, like I said the other night, I wasn't threatening you with violence. You know why? Because I know there isn't going to be any violence. Because I know your bitch ass ain't going to say a fucking thing in person to my fucking face. I know you're not going to call my fucking friend a liar to his fucking face.
I want him to.
So no, I really doubt sincerely there's going to be any fucking violence. Because you ain't going to say or do shit when I fucking humiliate you like the little creep piece of shit that you are, motherfucker. That's how you motherfuckers
y'all a bunch of bitches, man. Y'all a bunch of bitches. Like every time somebody like, I mean, I'm threatening to slap a lot of motherfuckers in wrestling Twitter, and like people go like, oh, you're so big and bad. And I'm like, nah, bro. Y'all disrespect motherfuckers and think people gonna take that shit because you don't talk like that in real life. You go to events and beat a motherfucker in a corner, sitting there by yourself with your hands in your pocket, sitting there hoping people notice you. Like that's who you are. Like. I've never been that type of person. Like anybody who knows me, it's people who know me. I've been in this business off and on for almost 15 years. Everybody who knows me know I stand on what I stand on. Y'all don't stand on nothing. The only thing y'all stand on is your tippy toes or twerk that ass for AEW. That's all y'all really doing. That's all I ever see y'all do. Y'all
and it ain't about acting big and bad. It's right and fucking wrong. I was at a show that I was invited to by a friend who runs things at this place. A month ago, it was nothing but smiles and hugs. Everyone I saw, everyone I interacted with.
That's all it ever
is. World champions, managers, people who run shit in this wrestling industry. Nothing but smiles and hugs. So if that's not the case for you, maybe it's because you're harassing young women and standing on 210 tones down for fucking sex pests and calling my friends fucking liars. It ain't about being big and bad.
It's about you allowing
the bitch in you to spill out at the wrong times.
I think it's hard for people to hide the bitch in them, right? I think that's the problem. It's like it's hard to hide the bitch in people. Like you don't really have, you know, like you don't know how to hide it because that's all you ever known is to be a bitch. That's your life. You know, your life's work is you being a bitch. Like there's nothing else. Say you just been a bitch this entire time. And it's like, hey, you know, bitch is bitch, whatever, you know, like. You know, I just, like I said, I didn't want to deviate too far. Like I said, it bothered me because somebody literally just sent me the thing that I started with, and it pissed me off.
So this dude, this other cat who was making fun of you, talking about, oh, this dude's so fucking broke. He, meanwhile, is also begging in the streets for a fucking new TV.
For a TV.
Very good. Very fucking good.
But what makes it worse is, I just want to point this out. The reason why it bothered me, because this dude literally just got people to send him like $10,000, and he said he only needed like $5,000 of it for like legal fees. And like, once again, I totally understand and understand needing legal fees. Trust me, I probably need them myself soon for a couple things. And you know, I'm like, I understand. I felt for that person. Like, damn, bro, you know, you trying to fight for your daughter. If anybody understands that, motherfucker, it's me. And so I think what bothers me the most is like I reach out to people and tell them, hey, man, you know, your situation's rough. And in my state, I reach out to people and be like, yo, bro, it's going to work out, man. You know, positive vibes, man. Like, I'm going to share your stuff. I want everything to work out for you. It's never fucking returned. That's the problem I have. Like, I'm going to stop being nice to you bitch-ass motherfuckers. Like, goddamn, I'm nice to y'all. I show y'all love. Like, if you really want to talk about it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got two or three people around this motherfucker that really would look out for me in this game. Really, in general, and everybody else, y'all get pats on the back. You know what I'm saying? You got wrestlers who donated to Bronze, like, I know you're such a great guy, you're such a great dad, and blah, 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 blah. But when I reached out privately to the dude to be like, hey, man, like, you know, like, whatever, nothing. You know, sold it. You ain't mean that apology. That's bullshit. I find that to be bullshit. Like, you really, you apologize because people was calling you a bitch and calling you like a cornball. And then when I say, yo, bro, like on some private shit, like if I got an issue with somebody, I'm going to address you privately first. This AEW stuff that's happening, I try to address it privately first. Like my co-host will tell you, I tried to address this privately several times to no avail. Nice.
months.
And it's like,
it went much longer than I encouraged him to, because I said, you tell me about these phone calls and they just get on there and talk about fucking nothing. And then nothing happens.
Nothing. So it's like, I kept trying to, you know, fix things. I keep trying to be helpful to people in my state, like, because that's just who I am. Like, if I can help people in any kind of way, even if I can't offer you anything from a financial standpoint, if I could share something, if I could pass something along, I try to help. And nobody likes to extend the hand back. And that's just the way that this game works, and that's what it is. And you guys, the one thing I don't like about wrestling, you play this moral game, but you're always a fucking quiet when it comes out that the people you cape for are not as morally whatever as you think they are. Like, you're not a real person, and that doesn't make you a good person. You're not a good person because you say, oh, if Vince McMahon is guilty, he needs to go to jail. No, because you're still saying if he is guilty, despite overwhelming evidence, despite everything we've seen over the years, you're trying to find a way to give, you know, to deny and be in denial. You guys are delusional. You guys are extremely, extremely stupid. And it's just like, I'm fed up with everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, this last couple of days have been rough for me in general. From a personal standpoint, people who follow me, you understand why it's been a little rough on top of the usual. And, you know, the last thing I need is people's bullshit and lies. You know, like, stop putting shit on me. Like, your favorites, they harass women. Even your favorite brands, they harass women. Your favorite brands, you know, they are shitty people, right? Shitty people. And guess what? I ain't got none of that on my jacket. The only thing you can try to do is call me a liar for a situation that has been documented. Because if I go back to my music in 2022, 2023, I got lines about AEW not giving us what we earned and how long it took my brother to get his check. So, you know, but guess what? When you eventually do get paid, you know what that means? That means the whole time we weren't telling a lie. We were telling the fucking truth. It's just that we're not important. We're not important to them. We don't matter to them.
I would love to ask, and I don't know why I didn't ask this at the time. It's just because I was just over it. And I was like, okay, cool. Hope I see you somewhere. If he's fucking lying, why'd they take him off the song?
Boom,
hello?
Boom, boom.
Bing bong. All right.
Let's move on.
Y'all are a bunch of bitches. Two people who are not bitches. It's Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes, sir.
And whoever the fuck decided to fucking, oh my God. I was, them changing that theme song and incorporating the Hollywood Rock theme. It's fucking spectacular on so many levels. The fact that many of us, me, Cam, you, some discussion of it, that is possibly the greatest wrestling theme song of all time.
Yeah.
My favorite, certainly.
Yeah.
But it was only around for like 3 months. You know, we all talk about it with this fucking reverence. And they pulled it out of fucking nowhere and gave it to us. And the new entrance is even more fucking amazing with it. The Rock is just laying down these fucking promos on air and off air. Goddamn, man.
You know, everything the Rock's done this run has been like re-fucking ridiculous, man. Like, it baffles me how well he's done with all of this stuff, bro. Like, this guy is he's so good at like what he does. Like, he's so good at this. And what makes it even crazier is, like, he is well out of practice. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he hasn't fell off. He hasn't lost anything. It's like he is truly, truly still. And I guess, you know, it's what they say, right? You know, like, once it's always there, it never really leaves. And I guess that's the same for Rock, but it's like, first of all, last week we were marking out over the entrance, right? The entrance, the coolest fucking entrance ever. And then you add that to a remix, Like, this is the remix, figure type shit, and then boom, boom, and then you, oh, like, it's just, everybody's a star until a real star rolls up. Of course, once again, the Chrysler Phantom, the Chrysler and the Phantom comparison is always, Roman Reigns is the Universal Champion and has been the biggest star and biggest name in WWE for the last 5 to 6 years. And he looks like little bro in presentation, promo, everything. Cody Rhodes is your top babyface. And he looks very much like very much little league type shit. And I'm not disrespecting Cody Rhodes. I'm not like, you know, I'm not a big fan of his, obviously. But it's just he looks little league. And the reason why I'll say this, Rock cut promos on Twitter, and I don't know if you saw Eric, where they said some of the people backstage don't like the fact he puts his profanity laden promos on social media, which I think is like
fuck really, off. First of all, it's just that's not true. Shut the fuck up.
I don't think it's true. But it's like what is true is that Rock cutting those promos led to Cody Rhodes' sister saying, oh, toxic masculinity is such and such. And I was like, oh my God, like, it's a promo. He's a heel. Like, this is like he didn't say anything out extra outlandish. You like call him a bitch or call him like, it's The Rock. He's been doing that forever. Cody has done that and called people, you know, Cody says curse words too. Cody says aggressive
Not
stuff
only
too.
Is it heel Rock, but it's heel Rock who's fighting every single second to not become face Rock because he's just simply too fucking cool and everybody's gonna be into it. And so furthermore, awesome. He has to say grimy shit to make sure that that doesn't happen. They've been extremely crafty at it so far, like sneaking little shit in just at the right time, just before it flips to make sure to keep him heel. So, yeah, he's going to say some dastardly, grimy shit, some punk shit, because not only is he a heel, but they're fighting against the tide turning every fucking second he's out there.
And I just want to point out, for the last 2 weeks, the two women that I saw, I'm not going to tag those women, but it's just the two women that I saw take up for Cody, it just, like, it makes it so uncool of Cody. Like, it's just so uncool because it's like Cody, you know, Rock says something to Cody. Instead of Cody coming back with some fire back to him, like you know, people do in promo battles, Cody slaps him, and then you got a close friend of Cody's like, oh, midlife crisis for this guy. And you're like 45. Cody's like 40. Like, Rock is like 6 years old. Like, it just doesn't work. And then toxic mess, it's like, it just doesn't work. It makes Cody look actually like a bitch. Really? Because he can't really speak up for himself, and like he needs people going the sympathy route. And like Cody crying over his mom and stuff and his dad, like, it's normal stuff. I don't necessarily care to see it in a wrestling promo personally. You know, I feel like because it's a production, it's a show, and they're trying to go the sympathy route. You know, yo, Adrian, that's what they're going for Philly with Cody. You know, they want to go this underdog of, you know, this mind you, this this nepotism hire who really is what he was, because Cody Rhodes back in the day when he first got a job, he got a job because of what his family name was, because the motherfucker had no knee pads, he was green as grass, and he was under Hardcore Holly. You really want to talk about somebody who grinded like Cody has absolutely changed his presentation and actually become a great politician / babyface wrestler, and that has worked for him. But it's just like the sympathetic shit, I get like, He ran it dry in AEW. Honestly, to me, you know, they started off with him and Dustin against each other. That was like the first thing. Like, oh, dad would be so proud, and I'm gonna go win this title for, you know, for my dad, and American Nightmare. Like, everything is your dad, and I get it. You honor your parent. I love that. Honor your parents. It's beautiful. It's wrestling. Like, give me some fire, Cody. Call Rock, like, call Rock something, talk some shit.
Call Rock a bitch. No,
Like, get some fire, you know, get some fire in it. And like, that's the one thing that's missing from it, and which is why I said it makes Cody look second rate, Roman look second rate. Seth always looks second rate to me, but it's just like, it's just the issues are showing now with this. Like, they're actively showing, and it's a problem. And it doesn't necessarily take away from the build for Mania, you know, like, it's still exciting to me, but it's just not what it was.
Hope Cody comes back with him.
Yeah, I mean, we only got a couple weeks.
It's a good mix because it's the WrestleMania build, something that we mentioned last week, but also it ties into our fucking people on wrestling Twitter are goddamn fucking mutants, psychopath fucking losers. All you motherfuckers who get your fucking stopwatches out like goddamn maniacs every fucking week to track the amount of wrestling and the amount of women's wrestling and the blah, 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 blah. I would expect, because you seem to care so fucking much, surely you're not just making whining about fucking wrestling amount times and women's wrestling amount times your whole fucking personality, and that's all you fucking can do. Surely that's not the case. It's not as bad faith as that. Surely if you were, you know, in a press conference with someone who had a serious sexual assault fucking situation going on, you would ask a question. Surely you would be being very loud all week about what happened on Raw. Because Raw, it was like, I was like, did Raw change? Is it a women's wrestling show now? Because we went the first damn near 90 minutes of Raw with all women's wrestling action. There were some promos by the men, but the whole thing was women's wrestling angles. 90 minutes, first hour and a half of the flagship show. And I feel like I didn't hear fucking anything about it. Oh, that should be a benchmark. That should be a look how fucking good this was. And they did not suffer in the numbers. Raw still got 1.7 like it usually does. You would think you would have heard so much more about it. But I feel like we didn't. You probably forgot it now that I fucking tell them, now that I mentioned it.
Yep.
Because you people are fucking cretins. Raw was, and by the way, all of that was pretty decent stuff. Pretty good. Getting a good build. And that carries over into what we saw last night. Was we said, where the fuck is the build for this this Sasha Io Sky situation, this damage control situation? And it does look like we are moving towards what you predicted, possibly being Naomi, Bianca, possibly, hopefully, Jade, having a showdown with Damage Control. That would be three of them, because EO is going to be in. I still feel like EO's reign, her run, her existence is like super underutilized. Maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's a chance she wins the match at WrestleMania. But yeah, that main evented in the slot, you know, wrestlers that the company has invested time and effort into getting over and putting an interest in. So their main event slot didn't fucking flop and wasn't fucking disastrous. Putting that on the other show. I'm not putting that on the performers. The company, the people making those decisions fucking failed them. Willow and Riho did not fucking fail. The company failed them.
So
last night's main event of SmackDown, they did not feel the people involved in that match. Dakota Kai, Bayley, great job. Solid numbers. Crowd was into it. Glad that's finally getting some build behind it.
I will say there was a scary moment with the Bayley, the moonsault. I think there was a...
Yeah, she landed on her fucking head.
Yeah, I think Bailey's okay based on what I heard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's all right. So she did, but then I'm like, man, fucking Io, so she like barely, she landed on, lands on them like a fucking feather. She's such a fucking pro.
Yeah.
So it did look scary, but I'm not surprised to hear that Bayley's not hurt.
Yeah. So, I mean, Bayley's tough anyway. You know, she, you know, just a nick on the head, little head pain. She'll be okay. But I'll say, once again, the reason why that Bayley and Dakota Kai thing works is because it's such a long-term built-in story. Something that we were told for years that that's what AEW was supposed to excel at was long-term storytelling. And I think the Willow and Rio match, it didn't really make sense like that in the sense of where was the story? You know, like there was no back and forth with Rio and Willow like that. There was no back and forth with, I mean, Mercedes obviously just arrived. So there's no story there. And I think that's kind of what it was, is that on paper, Willow versus Rio is a great match or something I want to see. But where's the excitement? You know, professional wrestling is still entertainment. It's still an entertainment program. So you have to do things. You have to showcase pieces of the stories that get people excited, get people, you know, ready to watch it, ready to, you know, tap into it. So that is what it is. You know, I don't understand people's thought process or their logic kind of behind the stopwatch stuff that we talked about, you know, we talked about here before. Like, the stopwatch shit bothers me because it's like, come on, man, you know, like,
well, especially okay, like, I don't mind as much if you're noticing a long-term trend and we're trying to put stats and numbers to it to be like, no, this isn't bullshit. But when you completely remove the fucking context, like, go out of your way to remove the context that, like, yeah, it was a huge fucking segment that did huge fucking numbers. It's the hottest fucking thing that's happened in professional wrestling since Daniel Bryan. Yeah, that's why that segment took a long fucking time and took time away from the rest of the show. You moron. Fuck out of here.
But there's also, once again, there's also the difference between people on wrestling Twitter and then people in the real world. Because if you're one of those 15,000 people that's in the arena watching Rock do a concert, watching Rock and Roman and Cody and Seth have promos together, watching Rock and Roman go cut a promo together, and just like, nobody's sitting there in the arena going, yo, this is 30 minutes. They're not like
a fucking bit. And then people, you know, bitched about, you know, the length of Tiffany Stratton and Naomi. Did the fucking match accomplish what it was supposed to? Yes. Yeah. So what the fuck are you crying about? Jesus Christ.
Every wrestling fans is like crying about shit. That's all. You know, if they can find something new to cry about tomorrow, they'll do it. They can find something new to cry about, you know, it's always finding something to cry about. And it's like, do you even enjoy professional wrestling? Do you even enjoy this business? Or is your enjoyment solely on this or that? Like, for me, my favorites don't always get the shine or get the matches or get the moments that I would like to see them, but that's life, you know? Like, you're not going to always get every single person, you know, doing whatever, you know? You're just not going to get that. And it's like, I would have loved to see Ricky, like, AEW-wise. I'd love to see chance to do more. He's in this little tag team tournament that they got coming up for Dynasty, but I don't expect them to win, or I don't expect them to do anything with that. So, you know, when I look at that, I'm just like, hey man, you know,
did
I
would ever get a rematch of their titles?
No, they just automatically lost. Sting and Darby took on the Young Bucks, and then they vacated the titles. That's basically how it went. They never got a rematch.
So why would they get a bye? Why would they get what we would? As my partner said, we hope you guys can enjoy wrestling. And we hope that you enjoy DAR Sports Media. Right now, coming to you basically every other day. We've got Hooping and Hollering, yep, on Wednesdays, the NBA. We got NFL coverage on Fridays, of course, what you're listening to now. The most lively, truth-telling wrestling podcast out there. Week in Wrestling. And then, of course, we got picked up by the United Football Media Group. We provide a wraparound UFL coverage show Mondays at noon on the United Football Media YouTube. Check that out. Every other day, we're all over the place. I know I've been saying it from the beginning, but it just becomes more and more apparent every single week. The world of DAR is outside. And will be soon. And it also never stops.